I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for February 21st, 2023 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanson?
Here.
Mr. Hanam? Mr. McCam?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Stow?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
Mr. Hanam is excused. Six members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. I welcome all our guests this evening. We appreciate you being here. We won't keep you here too long. I think you're here for a unified purpose. You all look like you're here, maybe all but one, except for George, Franston. So we appreciate you being here. With that, we ask you to join our Pledge of Allegiance this meeting led by Ms. Stow.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Under additions to the agenda, I don't have any additions, but we will scratch off 12A, the report of the Finance Committee held this evening since that has been postponed. Mr. Frye, do you have any additions or changes?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to try to reschedule the Finance Committee meeting, which was postponed.
Well, let's keep that on there as 12A, reschedule. Items from other members of City Council? Hearing none. Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Miller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Haller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Briney?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, with that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and our agenda for this evening is approved as amended. Item number four is approval of our meeting minutes from our last meeting on February the 6th. Mr. Frye.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move approval of the meeting minutes from the council meeting on February 6th, 2023 as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve our meeting minutes from February 6th as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those meeting minutes are approved as submitted. Chief, is your officer?
He is actually working second shift right now, so I believe they're out on call. I have a message for him to come in as soon as...
We will come back to him when he's able to join us. So that moves us ahead to agenda item five, or six. Once again this evening, we have the chance to recognize a longtime volunteer to our community.
You want to go ahead and finish?
We'll go ahead with George now. George has served on the Grec District Board since 1999. That's a long time to serve. And you didn't get paid much for it. So if you'd be willing to come up to the podium, I'll step out there as well. You have a proclamation.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for coming in and bringing your family with you.
Well,
we have a proclamation which I would like to read. This is a proclamation from the Office of the Mayor. Whereas George France began his first term on the Sylvania Area Joint Recreation District, known as SAGARD, Board of Directors, on January 1st, 1999. And whereas at the expiration of his term on December 31st, 2022, Mr. France chose not to seek reappointment to the SAGARD board. And whereas as a member of the board, Mr. France was supportive of the expansion of Paysetter Park. That seems like a long time ago. The Tam O'Shanter office expansion and the fieldhouse construction. That also seems like a long time ago. Purchase of the Children's Wonderland exhibit, which has been a great success from Lucas County, and Centennial Terrace and Quarry renovation. And whereas Mr. France has selflessly donated his time and expertise and has provided outstanding contributions to the City of Sylvania through his service on the SAGARD board, now therefore I, Craig A. Stow, Mayor,
who hereby proclaim today, Tuesday, February 21st, 2023, as George France Day in the city of Sylvania. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you all. Very quickly, it was easy to do, okay? And I didn't realize that it started back in 1999. That's the honest to gosh truth. All right? But you have good people over there that run the facilities, that operate the facilities. And that's what makes it easy for board members to come in and be a part of it. And one thing that I said in my final parting words at the last meeting is, when board members come on board with no agenda, it's amazing what you can get done. Again, I thank you. I'm humbled. Mayor, I thank you very much.
I have a picture here. Hold that right up. That's right.
All right, ready?
We'll
get one more. Perfect.
Thank you. You and your family, you'd like to pick the picture with your family?
Yes, come on.
You want to get it or out?
See? You show up and what happens?
All of a sudden, it's a
mistake. I should put you in the middle here. Somehow. You can
get my wife over here. So there's tall guys in the back.
I'm sure.
Oh, I might be the short. Can everybody see the camera? All right.
All right. One more. Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks again. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, could I just make a few brief remarks?
Please do. Yeah.
I have had the privilege of serving on the Sage Yard Board for only 1 year with George, and I would share with you as council members that he's an exceptional leader. And you, of course, in your usual strong way, showed that today as you made your brief remarks before council about how important service is and how important it is to not have an agenda. You were certainly and continue to be highly respected by all of the Sage Yard board members. It's been a privilege and an honor to work side by side with you. And I'm completely serious when I say you're only a phone call away. And if there's something we need, you can be certain you'll be hearing from us. But thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Those are very kind words, Mary.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
All right, now I would like to return to agenda item 5 and let Chief Miller introduce our newest Sylvania police officer.
Welcome, Council. I would like to introduce you to Officer Connor Sitlack. We actually hired him back in August of last year. He's a product of one of our changes that we made with civil service that allowed us to look away from just certified officers and look towards having a cadet program where we can pick someone up, support them through the academy, and then they in turn continue to work with us. So he's actually a Sylvania born and raised. He graduated from Northview High School in 2018 and is a criminal justice graduate from the University of Toledo in 2021. Mom and dad still live in the city, so he has ties to our community. One interesting fact, he doesn't know I'm going to say this, he's our first officer that we've hired that was born in 2000.
Oh.
In the 2000s.
So, millennium.
Yeah. Kind of a twist on it for those of us that got hired and worked in the 1900s.
I love it.
Connor, we're glad that you chose to stay in your hometown and serve as a police officer. This council did unanimously approve an agreement during its last meeting for your reimbursement of your expenses in the police academy. So that's officially on the books and was approved in the minutes tonight.
Well, thank you very much.
Anything you'd like to say to council?
I'd just like to say, like Chief said, growing up here, being able to come back to, after college and serve the community I grew up in, it's an honor to be here. It's amazing to wear this uniform and be part of the community, and I look forward to a long career with the city.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations and welcome.
Thank you.
I was waiting for you to say, watch your speech, your time.
Chief, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, we're now ready for agenda item number 7. We're into the Kevin Aller portion of our agenda.
Kevin Aller portion.
He has 3 items on the agenda tonight. First has to do with the big project on Rose Street and US 23 interchange improvements. This is for right-of-way acquisition.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This project is to the stage now where ODOT will start going out to consultants for to actually perform the acquisition services, do appraisals, go through the acquisition negotiations and things of that nature. ODOT is handling all of that process on this project. However, we are responsible for some of the costs for that. So our total costs and commitment to that portion is $535,000, but that is being split up between 2 years that we negotiated with ODOT. We'll have $286,000 that'll ask for approval here today, and then next year we'll be responsible for an additional $249,000. These funds were budgeted. They were part of the capital improvement plan. They were anticipated as we got into this project, and we recommend approval of the agreement to commit $286,000 this year.
Mr. Aller, I have viewed the preliminary plans for the intersection, and I believe the property acquisition is happening mostly on the west side to get the additional turn lane on eastbound Monroe, or are there other properties on the east side of the intersection?
It's primarily on the west side. There is some on the east side, but we're the majority property owner in the section that the right-of-way will actually be needed. So not too much of an impact on the east side of the highway. More so with our businesses and other property owners on the west side.
All right, and I'm sure that I and council will be interested in the final disposition of the remaining property on the east side. That large natural area is not going to be bisected by the new exit ramp. We want to have some input as to what happens on that property. A bike path, river trail path, still will come up next to the Burger King, but we want to have some control as what's going to happen to the remainder of that natural area.
Yep, that has been discussed with ODOT. The disposition and exactly how that is going to be handled hasn't gotten there yet. ODOT's not there, but we have had those initial conversations.
Surprise. And of course, we need a chance to rework Sini Park and make that right in the end.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Fry.
The cost of the right-of-way acquisition, our piece is $450 of this, Kevin. What's the anticipated total acquisition for right-of-way?
Actually, the way it's the full $450. The way ODOT funds, they take a look at the total project, but then our 10% is earmarked towards specific things. So you could say that we're 10% of the 450, that we're 10% of the whole project, but the way this is done, we pay all acquisition costs.
And I know we've entered into negotiations many times on right-of-ways, and sometimes it goes very smoothly, and other times it's a little more challenging. Obviously, we know where these acquisitions are. Do we anticipate lengthy conversations from ODOT with the current property owners?
We've been in touch with all of the property owners. How smooth and quick those conversations will go down the road is always anybody's guess. Nobody should be surprised at what's going to be coming to them. But the good thing about this one is that ODOT handles the whole process. We have, short of having to pay the final bill, we have virtually no involvement in it. Yep.
Thank you.
Seeing no other questions, we do have proposed ordinance 20-2023 to approve the contract with ODOT to enter into the work for the right-of-way acquisitions. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only ordinance number 20-2023, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into real estate agreement number 38750 between the State of Ohio Department of Transportation and the City of Sylvania for right-of-way acquisition relative to the Monroe Street and U.S. 23 interchange improvement project, appropriating funds that for the anticipated right-of-way acquisition cost in the amount of $535,000, and I would move passage as an emergency measure.
Second. Been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 20-2023 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 20-23 is enacted as an emergency measure. Okay, on to another project, the Monroe and Silica Improvement Project and the Silica Road Bridge Replacement. Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We received bids on this project on February 3rd of this year, obviously. We received two bids. Both contractors are very versed in this type of construction, Moser Construction, Miller Brothers Construction. The engineer's estimate on the project was just short of $5.3 million, and the apparent low bidder on the project was Moser Construction, who was just over $5.9 million. If you do the math real quick, that puts us a little bit over 12%, 12.1% over the estimate. We've come back to you in the past with bids that were 10% over, or more than 10% over the bid, and we've come back and said we need to rebid. ODOT took a look, us and ODOT took a look at the bids, and as Joe was putting together the bid tabs for the project, he noticed three of the bid items that were included is where we saw large differences, and tenfold differences. And so we reached out to the consultant on the project and asked them to take a look at that. And they came back, took a look at the bid items that they had pulled off of the ODOT selection process, and realized that they pulled the wrong line item from that selection process and put it into the estimate. What was bid at $350,000, they had in the estimate as $32,000. And so that was an obvious error, an obvious mistake. And because it was a wrong estimate, and that the estimate can be corrected on ODOT type work, that would bring our corrected estimate to just under $5.6 million. Which would then reduce the overestimate percentage from 12.1% to 5.6%. So therefore, with a couple provisions in the home rule, and I won't speak to that. If you have questions on that, I'll leave that to Ms. Browning. But with a couple provisions with home rule, and then the corrected estimate, it does permit us to go ahead and award the project. This project is under a pretty tight time frame, pretty tight construction schedule. The initial plan was for this project to begin approximately March 15th. The bridge portion of the project has to be completed by the start of school next year. We have to be out of there so that the Northview traffic starts the school year with normal conditions. So it's our recommendation that we move forward with Moser Construction. We have not done any work with them as a city. I've done, in past lives, I've done quite a bit of work with Moser Construction. They're a good contractor. They're out of Fremont, Ohio, and I have no concerns about moving forward with them. So I recommend approval of the PID 107489 to Mosier Construction in the amount of $5,906,737.56.
Mr. Allen, on this or other time-sensitive projects, are there incentives or penalties for time?
We have penalties on this. We do not have any incentive based provisions in this, but there are some penalty provisions for not being completed on time because of the bridge.
Within this
project? Yes, within the project. That's included in the specifications.
And I'm saying this or asking this not only for this project, but for our upcoming projects that will be time sensitive.
Yes, all of our projects have some form of penalty clauses if not completed on time. They vary based on the size of the project and things associated with the project. In this case, when you're talking that a school has to revise their whole transportation plan, pretty hefty fines. And other cases where maybe it's a water line that it just we don't get it switched over in time, then those penalties are a little bit lower. But yeah, all of our contracts have some sort of penalty clauses in them if not completed on time.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Allen, a couple questions just for clarification purposes. I know we spoke about this. You talked to the state of Ohio there, because a lot of this money that's earmarked for this project is state grant dollars, right? You talked to the state, they're okay with this modification to the engineer's estimate, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to hit this on the record.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Because this is obviously not something that we've done every day. And I had another question from a constituent. They asked me about a roundabout of some sort or another, and I suggested to her that I wasn't aware of a roundabout on it, except perhaps for a temporary nature to allow people to come down Silica and turn around, because the bridge is going to be closed. And is she incorrect in what she heard? Because I'd like to say, hey, this is not accurate.
Yeah, there's no roundabout associated, even temporary, associated with the project.
We talked originally about a roundabout
right
in Monroe, and that was, we decided not to go that direction.
That's correct.
And that's the only other thing that I can thought of. So her information was inaccurate.
That's correct.
Make sure there wasn't a temporary roundabout for people to turn around.
No, the way the school traffic is being handled, you can could consider it a roundabout. It's going all the way around the school, but it's an awful big roundabout. Yeah. Yes.
All right. If there's no further questions, we do have ordinance number 21-2023 to award this construction project to Mosher Construction. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 21-2023 by title only, accepting the bid of Mosier Construction and awarding the contract for the Monroe Street and Silica Drive intersection improvement and Silica Drive bridge replacement project the same, authorizing expenditure for the improvements in the amount of $5,906,737.56, appropriating funds therefore, and I would move passage as an emergency measure.
Second. Been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 21-2023 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 21-2023 is enacted as an emergency measure. Before we move on, I'd like Chief Miller to give us a brief report of her conversations with the Sylvania Schools Administration and her plans, which will be starting in March, because this bridge will be out of service for the end of this school year.
Yes, we've been working with Joe Shaw in Kevin's office, with the fire department, with the school, with bus transportation. Just in the last week, we've started putting word out. You can find the traffic plans on the city engineer's website, as well as our city Facebook page, the city police department page. We've also tagged it. We've been to the school board meeting, and we've also been to Northview High School to meet with the parent organization, just trying to get word out. That is kind of where the roundabout mistake probably happened because we're describing it as a giant roundabout. You will come north on Silica and proceed around the curve to the east up to the north driveway by the hill. And that's where the split will happen with buses. Buses will go into the front to drop off. Parents and students that are parking or dropping off will go along the hill on the north side and circle around the west side of the building where they will park then. And if they're just dropping off, then they just continue on. And we'll have some traffic, like barrels and cones and stuff out there to delineate where traffic is continuing to go around and where traffic can stop and let students off safely. So, and then we'll have officers, of course, on scene at the driveways to help with the bus and the parent traffic to keep that sorted out. We'll have an officer back by the softball field to help traffic get out there. We'll have an officer at Silica and Convent, and then most likely an officer down at the light at Convent and Main Street until we see how traffic flows.
Chief, is that something that's going to continue through the end of the school year every day, or is that going to be temporary and fade as people get more adjusted to the change?
Hopefully, as people get more adjusted to the change, I can limit the number of officers needed. The first week, you may be seeing captains and the chief out there directing traffic as well, just to make sure. And I think as we get going and people become used to what's expected of them, it will speed up. We're encouraging parents to utilize the bus system if at all possible, or give it 20, 30 minutes, let us get the school traffic out, and then come in, pick up your students. So it's going to require a lot of patience on everyone's part, but we'll get through it.
Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask Kevin a quick question?
Of course, Mrs. Westphal.
Kevin, I know you talked about March 15th getting this started. Do you have a projection or a range for when you think that the road will actually be closed down and this new process will have to be implemented?
We haven't gotten a schedule from the contractor yet on that, because obviously we haven't awarded the project. They don't have a job yet. But they had indicated that they plan on getting in there pretty much right away. Now, it's going to take some time for them to get some of the materials and things in that order. So I would anticipate more like the end of March, maybe even the first week of April, before he'll actually be able to get in there and get going. So he's under a little bit of a time crunch because, again, the completion date on this is July 15th. Now we'll have to extend it a little bit because he hasn't been awarded the project as early as we had anticipated. But we still have that completion date early, so to make sure that we're done by that August 15th. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's move on to agenda item 9, which is for a project that was included in an OPWC funding request for the sewage and road reconstruction on South Main Street. Kevin worked the application for the funds, and he was able to include Oakland Court. Oakland Court is a cul-de-sac ending concrete residential street across from the hospital that has been in disrepair for many years. The road department went back in there maybe 12 or 15 years ago, and we replaced many of the slabs. It has been a problem.
Mr. Mayor, did we address the...
Did we do the contract?
Yeah. Did we...
No, I don't know that we did.
What?
Ordinance 21-2023?
Yeah, I think we did.
We took a vote? I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. When Mary asked the question, I thought that we hadn't read it yet. I'm sorry.
Sure, if we get through the ordinance before or I had Chief Curlin come up with that, and I prefer that order.
I'm glad my back is to the camera, so they can't see how red my face is right now.
So we are on to Oakland Court. Oakland Court has been in disrepair for many years. It also has a very small cul-de-sac at its west end, and has been creating problems with our refuse trucks and recycling trucks and other delivery trucks going up and over the curve of the island in the cul-de-sac, creating mud problems down at the end. And we've been looking for a solution for some time. This is the right solution. We've been able to include this project and get OPWC funds for a residential street project, which is quite a good thing to have. Mr. Aller cannot give us the details about it. Sorry to interrupt you, but go right ahead.
I interrupted you. My apologies, Mayor. Yeah, Oakland Court is one of the old, concrete base streets, and one of them that needs to be replaced. If you recall, we've systematically replaced the two cul-de-sacs that come off of Ravine Drive that were the same thing. And we've been looking for the right opportunity to be able to take Oakland Court off of our rolls as well. We always look for those types of projects. Is that the cost of the project is the cost of the project. That part of it's not going to change. Those types of projects don't score well with any type of funding mechanism on their own. And so we always look for an avenue to try to include it with another project that we're fairly certain is going to receive funding, and then be able to double dip, if you will, by adding one of those courts into the project and pulling some money towards it to help with those construction costs. We were able to do that with Oakland Court by pairing it with the Main Street project. The construction cost, construction estimate for Oakland Court is $508,000. We have about 30% grant that we were able to secure on this project. And so that, in and of itself takes care of about $160,000 of the $508,000. So this percentage was a little lower. The Main Street project that we coupled it with, we had to make some educated guesses with as long as we've been doing it on where we would be successful on obtaining that money, and 30% is where we factored in, and it proved to be a good. Had we tried to scrape a little bit more, we would have been right on the bubble, and may have gotten bumped based on our past successes with the grant program. So it was, this was one where I've had other projects where we wish we would have gone after a little more, but on this one, I think it's good that we stayed right where we were at. So, or we would have could have ended up with nothing. So the engineering scope on this project is $51,311. We received that proposal from Fishbeck. They're a very good firm. We worked with them on some other projects, and they do a good job for us. Again, these costs were included in the 2023 capital improvement budget. The construction will take place in 2024. We'll obviously budget those funds at that time. But we do ask for approval for to enter into an agreement with Fishbeck for the engineering on Oakland Court.
Mr. Fry.
I just wanted to thank Kevin and your team for the creativity to utilize and understand the structure of how OPWC monies flow to be able to capture some funding for something that otherwise we would be on the hook for completely as the city residents and taxpayers. So I appreciate that. I just wanted to, I've cited before, I know other members of council have as well, for all the money that you help bring through the door in these grants. But on stuff like this, which is a residential street, we appreciate the creativity. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Mr. Aller and Mr. Shaw's understanding of the scoring questions and scoring point system for OPWC is what makes this work. That scoring criteria changes almost every year. There's maneuvering and gamesmanship every year, but Mr. Aller is on top of the gamesmanship. and the grantsmanship necessary to win. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. Any questions about the construction project? And it's a 2024 construction project, cost the city taxpayers a little over $348,000 to get it done. It's not proposed to be an assessment project, but to be funded out of the city's capital improvement fund. If there's no questions, we do have ordinance 22-2023 to award this engineering contract to Fishback. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will now introduce ordinance number 22-2023 by title only, accepting the proposal of Fishback to provide professional engineering and surveying services for the Main Street and Oakland Court Improvement Project, appropriating funds, therefore, in the amount of $51,311, and I move passage as an emergency measure.
Second. And moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 22-2023 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 22-2023 is enacted as an emergency measure. Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Thank you.
We are now moving on to agenda item 10. Mrs. Brining has two issues on the agenda tonight for us. The first one is pretty straightforward, but I'll let Mrs. Brining explain why we have to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is just a reflection. This is the first time that the clerk hasn't either been the director of finance also or been in the same office as the director of finance. And in the sort of in our codified ordinances currently, it says that the bulletin board is in the same office as the director of finance. Well, now that Mrs. Bigelow is in the it's in a different office, we just need to change that to take out that phrase that says in the same suite of offices as the director of finance.
The new bulletin board has been mounted, and that's where all the ordinances and official announcements of the city required for posting are done.
Correct.
It's across from Mrs. Bigelow's desk. All right, so this is pretty straightforward. We have ordinance 23-2023 to accomplish this. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 23-2023 and read by title only. Revising the administrative, departmental, and divisional organization of the city and the codified ordinances thereof by amending Sylvania Codified Ordinance Chapter 113, Ordinances and Resolutions. I move passage of ordinance number 23-2023 as an emergency measure.
Second.
I move and seconded for passage of ordinance number 23-2023 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 23-2023 is enacted as an emergency measure. Agenda item 11 is to approve and enact those replacement sheets you've all received for your codified ordinances. Looks like this. Mrs. Brining.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is an annual housekeeping ordinance that we do. Walter Drain is a company that prepares all of the replacement pages that cover changes enacted by the state legislature, so changes to the Ohio Revised Code that are made that may be in conflict with our code, just and they're primarily definitions that were amended. There were some changes to the fireworks legislation in the previous Ohio State and some fire prevention code amendments. They're all, I checked them all, they're all in compliance with the ORC, so I would recommend their approval and adoption.
It's an interesting exercise to get into your books and replace all those sheets. You can also get it all online and not keep your books up to date if you choose to work that way. All right, we have ordinance 24-2023 to enact this. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 24-2023 and read by title only. An ordinance to approve, adopt, and enact current replacement pages to the codified ordinances, to repeal ordinances in conflict therewith, to publish the enactment of new matter. I move passage of ordinance number 24-2023 as an emergency measure.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 24-2023 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 24-2023 is enacted as an emergency measure. Now we'll turn to the second page of our agenda for this evening. We're up to agenda item 12, which is committee reports. We canceled, Mr. Frye canceled the finance committee meeting to be held 6:30 tonight, but would like to take this time to reschedule that meeting. Mr. Frye.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had a chance to talk with Mr. Hanum. He gave me some times I would, we have the 6th, but I know that Mr. Richardson won't be able to make the 6th of March, so the next council meeting in 2 weeks. I know that on the 20th, we have an employee and community relations for that. Is there anything, Mr. Schroyer, that's pressing that this can't wait till the first meeting in April?
There is not.
Okay. Is that a conflict from your perspective or for the your department?
I know I can neither. I can't speak for the tax commissioner, but certainly she, I will invite her.
Okay.
I'm not sure what her schedule is.
Okay. Mary? I know Doug's okay for that. You okay, Patrick, on the 3rd? Then I'll make a motion to set, reschedule the finance committee meeting that was postponed for the 3rd of April, starting at 6:30 p.m. in council chambers.
Second.
And moved and seconded to schedule a finance committee meeting for the consideration of two different tax issues at 6:30 p.m. in these council chambers. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, and the clerk is instructed to post that meeting time. Are there any further committee reports to be made at this time? Or any committee referrals? If not, I do.
Mr. Mayor, I did have one question.
I was going to draw council's attention to that Columbia Gas. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it through. Perhaps Mr. Aller could give us a brief description of what Columbia Gas is already underway doing. I saw him up on Summit Street already.
Yes, they're actually the last page of the information piece that was given to you. It kind of shows the extent of the project. But basically, it's everything between Main Street and Summit Street north of Monroe. They will be replacing all of their gas mains in that area, which is basically every street. It's a pretty large project. Obviously, some of that is going to be, we're coordinating that with them because it's the same time that we're going to be in there with our downtown transportation improvement project. So we're trying to work through some issues with that. One of the things that we just found out recently is that they're replacing this with a high pressure. What they have now is a medium pressure. They're replacing this with high pressure gas. And so the code apparently requires them to have gas meters outside the buildings. That's a problem in our downtown area. So we're kind of working through some things with that. But we wanted to give you, just put you on notice. I give them kudos for what they've put together. This information piece was sent to all of the property owners in the project area. I don't know how many of you live in the areas where some cable, some companies were installing cable, but no such notice was given. Yards were torn up, flags were showing up. That's not the way to handle a project. I give Columbia Gas kudos. I think they're handling it very well. And we'll work through the issues that come up. But just wanted to have it in your hands so that you were aware of it if you got any calls.
Understanding, I think, how some of the renters and property owners on Main Street are going to react to putting a gas meter out front of their property. Any chance that you slash we can convince Columbia to come in the back? I'm assuming that's what you're trying to get them to do.
That was the first question that we posed to them when we found out that the meters had to be outside the building. So we're, and they're taking a look at that. They're taking a look. If you look at Summit Street now, it's kind of a dead end. They're looking to see if they can modify that layout. So that is the, in our opinion, the best solution. There are some other things that they can do. They've indicated, we just haven't met with them to really kind of, you know, really hash this out just quite yet. But we've made sure they understand that meters out in front of our downtown buildings just is not the proper method.
Well, I hate to say it, but I would think that would actually make it less costly for them, because they're already coming up Summit Street anyways.
Right.
They're already, I mean, Richard Becker versus Main Street, I would think it'd be easier to go through the alley, or effectively in my mind is an alley, from a cost perspective than it would be. Now, I don't know where all the other utilities are at. Maybe the phone lines don't allow for that. I have no clue.
Yeah. And we don't, you know, we don't have the information on where the existing services come into the building. Do they have access to all of them from the rear and things of that? We like it being in Summit and Richard Becker and just out of Main Street completely, because then it keeps everything open for us, for our stuff. So, but.
I did get a postcard at home tonight, Mr. Aller, which you're probably familiar with. It says, Frontier Cable is coming. We're upgrading our network in Sylvania to state-of-the-art fiber optic. I know this is what came through my neighborhood a couple summers ago with Buckeye going through everybody's backyards, and we had to get them to change from the front yards. That was an issue. This one doesn't really give a schedule, but it says, before we bring fiber to your neighborhood, we will secure city and local permits. That's your part. Let's make sure they come through and do that, because I'm not sure if Buckeye did.
We got limited information from Buckeye, unfortunately, and so it was difficult to help some of the property owners when they were calling. We are having a little bit better success with Frontier. We just have a better, longer-term relationship with them. And so we are, it has been a little bit better, but it's widespread, just like the gas project. It's a big project, and so I understand to a degree, but we still have to keep people informed and let them know why people are in their backyards.
One on Pickett and Lee caused a lot of problems with those neighbors. Unfortunately, it got corrected before installation.
Mr. Mayor, may I add a comment as someone who lives in this zone?
Yes.
So as a resident in here, I can confirm that I have received that packet already and information about this. And in addition, Megan Hunyer, which is the person who's listed in this packet as the person to contact, she's also emailed me, and they're having a meeting tomorrow, a Zoom meeting tomorrow, for anyone to ask their questions. And they've also offered one-on-one meetings for any questions. So I think they've definitely been covering their bases and trying to head off any miscommunications or misunderstandings on this.
Just to be clear, Mr. Aller, I've seen gas meters out at the property lines in some neighborhoods, not in Sylvania. That's not what we're talking about, I don't believe. Columbia Gas is going to require line of sight from the main right away to see the gas meter.
Correct. Yeah, that's my understanding as well, Mayor.
Hopefully there's some flexibility. You can let us know whether it's a real opportunity for input or just they're going to tell you what's happening, like it or not.
Okay. I will let you know.
Never been a utility that ever did that.
All right. That brings us to the end of our agenda. If there's no further business, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Then moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting in 13 days on Monday, March the 6th at 7:30 p.m. in these council chambers. Thank you, and thank you.